Thank you, Dane, for that, those words. A few announcements before class. Lots going on this weekend. The ladies' prayer breakfast devotional was Saturday at the home of Candy Bertini. Triple Group E Group 8 will meet for lunch on Sunday. Brief meeting of the last leaders' coordinators following the morning services. The men's Bible study will take place immediately after evening services. And the young folks, Teves Middle School and High School, will have their Devo Sunday evening. Also, another reminder that youth rally housing is really needed. And if you can help with that, please see Jennifer Thompson or Lori Young. We have some prayer requests. Brother Pearson, Larry Pearson, requests prayers for a friend of his, Jeff Poling, who is hospitalized with a lung infection in critical condition in Ohio. Judy Barefoot is undergoing chemo, and Katie Glover, the daughter of Steve and Chris Glover, is undergoing testing for abdominal pain. Before class, let's go to prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the safety and comforts and blessings that you've given us. Thank you that we can be here to study your word, and we pray that you would be with all those that are in need, with Jeff and Judy and Katie especially, and we pray that you would help us that we might live as you would have us. We thank you for Jesus and pray it in Christ's name. Amen. And classes are, you're dismissed for classes.
Yep. I'm gonna need some strong readers over here. You guys got your Bibles with you? No? Go ahead and grab one. See? There you go. Good evening. I know it's not Sunday. And I hope you don't get tired of me too soon. But we want to continue to keep Nathan and all those who are traveling at this time in our prayers. Wish for a speedy return to us. But tonight, I didn't want to go too much into what I know Nathan has been talking about in this class, but I wanted to have some kind of connection. So we're going to touch on a little bit of the things that he's been talking about. And kind of branch off into a different area. And then we'll let him pick up where he was from last week. So, with that said, the last few weeks we've been talking about the threefold mission of the church. Well, overall, we've been talking about balance, right? And recently we've been talking about the threefold mission of the church. And by the way, for those of you who are not here on Sundays or have not been in my classes, I do like participation. I try not to stand here and lecture the entire time. So we're hoping to get some involvement from you all. Now, of course, if you don't, it means we're going to have a shorter class. So I hope that doesn't actually close your mouth. but that, you know, we can have a good discussion. And also, when we discuss, that's everybody in class, including our young ones here. Glad you guys are here with us tonight. So anyway, the threefold mission of the church. What is the threefold mission of the church we've been talking about the last few weeks? Anyone recall? Evangelism, edification, benevolence. Okay. Benevolence, evangelism, edification. If I had a board up here, I'd just write B, B-E-E. Right? It's an easy way to remember it. Benevolence, meeting the needs of others, evangelism, sharing the gospel, edification, using short definition, encouragement. Now, understand that the threefold mission of the church is not, it doesn't mean the church just as a single body, okay? Yes, as a body, we do have to accomplish all three things, but individually, we have to as well. We can't say, well, I'm gonna work on evangelism and nothing else. We'll let somebody else who can encourage work on that piece. We'll let somebody else who can practice benevolence work on that. We are responsible for all three pieces of the threefold mission. I want to share with you, I was reading a book, this was several years ago, many of you have probably heard it, Jim Collins, is a book called Good to Great. And I remember reading in that book that one of the biggest enemies of greatness is being good. Okay? If we convince ourselves that we're doing well enough, we won't actually get to where God would have us to be. You know, if we say, you know, listen, I come out every Sunday morning, I come out Sunday evening, I come out on Wednesday, and I'm a good Christian. And we settle there, we never achieve the greatness that God would want us to achieve. Okay? And I bring that up because when we talk about balance, we want to talk about being able to do the things that God will be pleased with, not just in one area or one time or one moment in our time or in our life, but throughout our life. So I want us to think about that when I bring this question to you. We know what the threefold mission of the church is. How do we accomplish it? What strategies do you use? See, there's no wrong answer. Whatever strategy you use, the strategy you use. What strategy do you use to accomplish this mission? Anyway. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. Working as a unit. Okay. Anyone else? How do you go about accomplishing the mission of the church in your benevolence, your edification, or evangelism? How do you go about doing it? Love. Okay, to love everyone. I'm going to pick on you a little bit, Paul, here. How do you go about doing that? How do you just one day wake up and say, I love everybody? Right?
But you have to work on it as realize the needs of others and the people. In evangelism, you need to realize they're lost.
Mm-hmm.
And love them enough to want to save them.
I hope everybody heard that you have to realize where they are. I mean, whether we're evangelizing, you know, we're sharing or trying to help others out or encouraging them, we have to know where they are first, right? We can't just come in and say, now, and I'll tell you, I made this mistake one time. I was doing a Bible study with someone, and, you know, you never know where they are, so, you know, I just wanted to, like, start from the beginning. Okay, you know, there was Adam and Eve, and they had perfect harmony with God, and then, you know, all these things happen. And he says, I know all of that. I just want to go to the water. I mean, had the study, had gone through all the classes, and here I am not knowing where they were, you know, trying to cover everything. Sometimes you need to stop, realize where they are, and then work from there. Good point. I saw a hand back here. Is that you, Austin?
More like Christ will be more and more.
good point. Yes, ma'am, then Valerie.
If you can do good at a in a certain service and you want to do better, you can meet with the people who have had success in that area, or you can read books by people who have had success in that area, kind of pick up some things of how maybe you could improve what you want to do that way.
That's a great strategy. Learn from others. Right. Valerie. And, you know, there are a lot of good words here. One more, right here. Okay. And we're actually going to touch on that point. The question he's asking is, if we're not where we need to be, and make sure I got this right, if we're not where we need to be, why should we try to help? We can make it worse, in essence, right? If we try to do it before we're ready, okay? That's a good question. We're going to talk about that in a second, too. Over here, then here. Yes. Setting those goals. And I want to thank you for that comment. There were some good words that we should really pick up on. We heard learning, we heard growing, getting out of your comfort zone, developing plans, and it goes back to the question that you were asking, which is, if I'm not ready, what should I do? Now, the easy answer, would just be, well, get ready, right? That's the easy way of looking at it. But as with everything else, if you want to be good at something, it's going to involve some work. It's going to involve some effort. And as Ozzie mentioned there, if we want it to be natural, we have to grow into that. You do not come up out of the water when you're baptized and all of a sudden know how to preach, know how to teach a Bible class, know how to go out and evangelize to everybody, know how to do all these different things, but you have to grow in the knowledge of the Word. Why do you think Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, he says, go in and teach, baptizing them, and then what? Teach again. Right? You have to continue to grow. So wherever you are is where you are. You're absolutely right. Wherever you are is where you are. And we've been talking a little bit about in Sunday's class how Ezra, before he went and taught the people, he actually learned it himself, and then he lived it. But we can't settle where we are. We have to continue to grow. Yes, there is going to be some times where we're in a position where we're not comfortable. We are not comfortable in all positions. It doesn't mean that we don't do it. It just means we start to develop some of those skills as God has allowed us to, right? And that starts, as Sister Valerie mentioned, in the heart. We have the purpose that we're going, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm committing to. Once we have that commitment, we develop that plan, then we can start working that plan. So we look at all these different things, different strategies. Obviously, we know we need to study, and we look at like 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved. We understand that that word study really has a lot more to it than simply opening up our Bible. I mean, it talks about the actual Greek word really means to use speed or be diligent or to endeavor, to labor. Put some effort into what you're doing. So if we're studying to show ourselves approved, we're being diligent, we're putting effort to show ourselves approved unto God. It's more than just opening up the book. We have to actually put some work into it. In addition, if we want to share more, you know, we talk about benevolence. We talk about meeting the needs of other people. You know, that's a habitual thing that we have to do. I'm going to, again, you know, I like, you know, every now and then kind of picking on an individual or group of people. So, you know, I'll pick on the husbands a little bit in the room. If your wife says, you know, you really don't take me out, you know, for dinner anymore. And you say, what are you talking about? I took you out on our anniversary. I took you out on our honeymoon. Well, you've been married 20 years, right? That's not going to fly for long. It has to be something that is more regular. If we want to develop the skills that we need, we have to be more regular. Sharing, if you can't say, you know, I remember back in 2004, somebody came to the church and they had a need and I helped them out. So I have a benevolent spirit. Well, that's wonderful that you did that. And I'm sure it had a great impact on that person. But are we continuing in that, or was it just a one-time thing to make yourself feel better? Yes, sir. What each of us can do. And, you know, we have many of those who are here now who've done dozens or hundreds of Bible studies and know all the scripture. But any of us who have been baptized should at least be able to tell somebody what they did to be saved, right? We all should be able to say, you know, how we heard the word and we believed it and, you know, we repented and we confess that Jesus is the Son of God and we were baptized. Yeah, there are a lot of other scriptures out there, but you know what? If they learn all those things and they don't do those pieces, how much better are they in the sight of God? How much closer have they come to knowing God and being His child if they haven't done those things? And you know them. Whatever we can do. You know, the apostles came and they saw someone at the gate and he was asking for alms. And what was their response? Silver and gold have I none. I can't help you that way. But it doesn't mean I can't help you. It just means I can't help you that way. We all have our own individual responsibilities and we can do something. Going back to the sharing and it being habitual, and I hope, you know, I was actually hoping to hear more amens from the wives. I was trying to help you out there, but that's okay, you know. I'm assuming you didn't have to say amen because your husband still takes you out regularly, and that's a good thing. Also, service. You know, part of everything that we do is built around service, Galatians 5 and 13. You know, we can, and you always hear this, and you can substitute the word there. We can serve without loving, but we can't love without serving. It's important that we develop first the mindset to do what God would have us to do. The action will come along. But understand, love always requires action. It always requires action. Now, here's the problem. Satan knows this too. And Satan's job is to do one of two things to you. One, to get you to not do those things that God would have you to do. And two, since sometimes you can't do that, he'll destroy the quality of the work that you put into it. I'll show you what I mean. Somebody turn over. I want to get some strong readers. I need somebody to turn over to Luke chapter 8 and hold your finger at verse 5. Luke chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 5 and read through verse 15. He knows exactly what we are supposed to do as a church. He's going to try to stop us, but he can't stop you from coming tonight. You're already here. He can't stop you from coming on Sunday. He's going to try. Sometimes it may take something as little as, oh, family's in town, I couldn't make it. Right, but he's going to try. But if he can't, he's going to try to destroy the quality of it. Somebody have Luke chapter 8, start at verse 5.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Jesus gave this parable. The sower goes out and he sows seed, and it fell on these different types of ground. And at the end, the disciples looked up and said, "What are you talking about?" And he explains it to them a little bit. He says, he lets them know the seed is the word of God. Now, first tactic of Satan, the word of God goes out. Satan is going to come along and try to pluck it before it can get in. Right? He's going to take it from you. He's going to try to do everything he can to take that thing that you know is right before you can act upon it. Okay? That's the first thing. Second thing was, it says it fell on rocks. When it fell on rocks, it says they didn't have any root, so for a while they believe, and in a time of what? Temptation, they fall away. Satan says, all right, it's already gotten to them. I can't do anything about that. But before it actually sinks in, let me fill them with some other things. Let me tempt them with some other things, and they fall away. Then it says the third seed fell in the thorns, and of course we know the thorns were sort of the cares of the world. Again, Satan said, I can't stop it, it's already done, but I can destroy the quality. Look at verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, here's the key part of it, and bring no fruit to perfection. That's talking about the quality. It's growing. It's doing something, but it's not doing it well. Bring it to us today. Satan will try to distract us. Say we schedule a time. We say, okay, no matter what, at 9 o'clock every night, I'm going to have my study time. That's a perfect time for us adults. You know, the kids are in bed or the homework is already done, and now I can study before I go to bed. And that's when we receive that text from a friend of ours. That's when we receive that phone call. Somebody's laughing. They must have gotten a text like that. You know? that's when we receive that phone call from someone else. That's when we realize, oh, my favorite show is on. Anything to pull us away from it. Okay? That's the first tactic. The second one, of course, is the quality of it. I know that they're going to be at service on Sunday. I know they're going out to Bible class on Wednesday night. But if I can get them to be upset, if I can manipulate people, so now you're fussing with your spouse on the way in. You're fighting with the kids are fighting with the parents on the way in. Now your worship. You're here in worship, right? You're in the building, but you're not giving the quality that God would have. Satan says, I can't stop you from doing everything, but if I can destroy some of the quality, you can't bring that fruit to perfection. Question? You're there, but you're not growing. Okay? And again, sometimes, and it doesn't matter how. Satan doesn't really care how he gets you, as long as he gets you. If he can just have you feel comfortable, well, you know, I'm doing okay. Well, I'm not really comfortable doing that, so I'll just stay where I know I can do these things. You know, as Isaiah brought up, well, I really can't talk to my friends if I don't have this ability, so I won't talk to my friends. Versus trying to grow, trying to mature. That's how we combat that. Now, Romans 2, 16 through 24. Actually, I'll drop down to 21 for the sake of time. It says, thou therefore which teach another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Do you steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonoreth thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. You know, Jesus, Satan will say, if I can discredit this person, then all the work that they do will be for naught. we have to be very careful as we're trying to achieve this right balance and accomplish the threefold mission of the church, that we do not find ourselves in a position where we can't be effective. We're discredited because of some of the things that we are showing in our own lives. And Satan says, that's fine too. I'll take that as well. He'll try to discredit, again, so the quality of our work is destroyed. Now, understand something. We're only going to feel that when we are in Christ. You know, in Romans chapter 7, it talks about there's a war going on. Really quickly, Romans chapter 7. If it's not there, then somewhere else. Romans chapter 7. I think around verse 22 or 23. Both of those. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You know, it's only a war when there are two opposing sides. I don't want any of you to walk out misunderstanding what I'm about to say here. When I was in high school and college, there was not a war because I was all the way on the other side. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we're out there with the world and doing what the world would have us to do, there's really no war going on. It wasn't until I came in contact with Christ and I start realizing that this is where God wants me, but this is the pleasure of the world. Now there's a war going on. Now there are competing sides. We want to get at least to the point where when we realize we're not doing what God would have us to do, there is something there fighting against those natural tendencies. The natural man, as the Bible calls it. But we're going to have to go through it. We're going to have to fight the war. And with the war comes trials. With the war comes trials. James chapter 1. A few minutes. James chapter 1, really quickly. We're still talking about accomplishing that threefold mission of the church and obtaining that balance. Here's what happens when we try to accomplish it and there's that war going on. We start to find ourselves in some situations. My brethren, verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, trials are useful only if they're bringing you closer to God, only if they're helping you to accomplish your goals. You know, Christ, when he was being tried, you know why he was being tried? You know why he faced trials? Because of who he was. Because he was Christ. Do you know why Job faced some of the trials and things that he faced? Because he was Job. Right? Satan went to God and he said, I've been going all over. He said, have you considered my servant Job? The only reason Job was facing the trials he was facing because he was Job. Because of he was who he was. So if we know that Job went through this, we know that Christ went through this, why are we so surprised when we go through it? We're going to face trials, you know why? Because we are who we are. We are who we are. James 1 and 12. You know, when we're tried, our faith worketh patience. You know, when I look at that word worketh, or I also saw another translation, works out, and I think about when we have those trials and we stay with Christ, it's working out. It's building up. Think about today when we work out. You know, I think about when I was playing sports. I was playing football and basketball and track and all these things. And I was working out. You know, and I got to the point where I was at the peak of my, you know, now I just peak at the gym, right? But at one time I was actually at the peak of my physical ability. And it came from that working out, the trials. You know, our muscles build. When we work them out and they tear and they heal up and they get stronger as they heal up, You know, that's how we have to be as well. We're going to be tried. We're going to be broken down a little bit. We're going to tear sometimes. We're going to fall. But we stay in Christ. We start to build, and we're strengthened by it. Also, when we're tried, it says we start to find balance. You know, when it says, verse 4, you may be perfect and entire. That comes back to the theme of this quarter, balance. When we allow patience to have her perfect work, we start to have balance. Wanting simply means here, lacking. In fact, if you look at the next verse, I think it talks about if we lack anything, let us ask of God. But we're talking about allowing these trials to come, but staying in God so that the patience may have her perfect work. The threefold mission of the church. Again, it belongs to each member individually as well as the congregation collectively. Ephesians 4, if you turn over there, we're actually about to close out soon. Ephesians 4:11. And this, I wanted to bring this up because I know there was some question about it earlier, and someone made an excellent comment about it. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not a contradiction to say that, you know, we all can't do everything, but we're all responsible for all three areas. We have to understand that in order for us to be pleasing, we talked about it, study to show thyself approved, work diligently to be approved or be accountable to God. We have to work in all of the areas. This scripture, the reason I brought this up is because we recognize we won't have those who, what's the word I would look for? Major. You know, you may major in one of these, but it doesn't mean you're not doing anything else. For those of you who went through college, you understand that even when you had your major, there were still other classes that you had to take, right? You didn't say, well, I'm a psych major, so I'm not taking anything but psych classes. And then you don't know any math, you don't know any history, you don't know any of the other classes or any of the other subjects that you need to know. We still have to work on all those other things. So you may not be the evangelist. You may not be the person who's going to school every day and talking to all of your friends and telling them about Christ and inviting them every Wednesday and every Sunday morning and inviting them back every Sunday evening. But you can still do it. You know, you may not be the person who's, you know, I've met some people who just seeing their face and watching the smile light up is encouraging by itself. And it's just a natural thing. Some people just can edify just by being there. You know, and that is a lesson we don't have time for. But, you know, we talk about Hebrews 10:25. You know, you can't really help the people if you're never with the people. Yes, sir. That's right. Yeah. And how many times did we see Paul talking about his own personal experience, his own conversion, right? I know a lot of you probably think, well, you know, Brother Calvin, you always bring up your own examples. Well, I know myself pretty well, right? I mean, it's easy to talk about what I've been through because I was the one that went through it. And if in the process it helps somebody else to understand it and apply it to their own lives, then it's of benefit to the body. And so you know yourself well. It's okay. It's not arrogant to talk about yourself as you're giving God the glory, because you're not talking about yourself for your own glory, but to give God that glory. I saw your hand up earlier.